Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
Eden
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
Ian's at six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
He knows nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Stop. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to ENN. On this, a Monday evening, the 1st of June, 2020. And what a year it's been so far, let's be honest. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Sure!
Then good evening to Don.
So they had me change my name to David Andrews.
I'd like to say good evening to Michael again as well.
Oh.
And one more time, I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Odell Beckham Jr.
So, there's an article on Yahoo Sports today about a former NFL executive who now is admitting that no teams wanted to sign Colin Kaepernick, even though they saw him as talented, because of his controversy, because they thought he was bad for business.
Isn't that what we always said?
Yes, but just to be clear, confirmed by an NFL executive, Kaepernick was not bounced by the NFL because of his skill. It wasn't because of salary demands. It wasn't because of all the things that we had people call up and tell us all the time. It was because he was a business liability, and they were scared, essentially, of some sort of firestorm with Donald Trump.
And unfortunately, that is all legal as long as they did it and came to that conclusion individually and not collectively.
But to your point you made earlier, it can be legal all you want. But now when you come out and make a statement about equality and the tragedy behind what happened with George Floyd in Minneapolis, it just rings a little hollow coming from the NFL and Roger Goodell.
But now things have changed to where it might be fiscally irresponsible to take the other side on this.
Oh, no, they have to now.
So the idea is that really it's where's the money? Where is it going to best benefit my business? What side should I be on? And that's the problem with this. And that's the problem that I have with when I say, and I acknowledge the fact that it's difficult, that don't just show support, take a side, right? Join. But it's hard when you're in that kind of an atmosphere. Because maybe there was a team that said, you know what, I want to do it. But because of the pressure of the NFL, the pressure from their fan base, the pressure from the sponsors who would have pulled out, you know, make it difficult sometimes to do the right thing. And not everybody is in a financial situation where they can afford to lose. The NFL, to me, Peter, though, looks like they can set the trend. They print money. They should do the right thing, and if some company wants to forfeit their $250,000 suite, if some sponsor wants to take down their sign outside the parking lot, then you know what? I would think the NFL could afford to do that. I feel bad for some of the people that maybe are in a position where they can't do that. But the NFL shouldn't have to worry about finances when it's about doing the right thing.
I mean, listen, everyone who speaks out right now is taking a risk. You never know what the repercussions will be, but where do you want to be when history?
Right, and there's some people where you go, you know, I get it. Like, I understand. You don't want to lose your job. Or you don't want to be put in a really tough situation. But for a professional athlete, for a league, should it be that difficult?
You wouldn't think so, Don. Well, speaking of which, Michael Jordan said he's pained and plain angry over the death of George Floyd. He's called for change. He put out a statement. He said, "We have had enough. I don't have the answers, but our collective voices show strength and the inability to be divided by others. And again, to the point you were just making, Don, you could either be happy that Michael Jordan has decided to weigh in, as he didn't a long time ago, as we just learned in The Last Dance doc, or you could think, A, he's speaking out as a response to that because everyone's talking about how he stayed quiet back in the 80s. And B, Don, is it a financial decision? Because now what happened was so egregious that there's really no benefit to not speaking up.
Yeah, it's got to be that. I'm not saying that's the reason he did it, but who can't come down on the right side of this? Even Nike put out an ad, just don't do it. So, yeah, I don't think there's any political risk in this. You're not striking at any side. You're not striking at a left or a right. You're striking about what's right and good and rational in the world. You don't kill somebody for no reason other than the color of their skin. So who can't come down on that side?
Yeah, it's relatively easy. One of my favorite players in the league, Malcolm Brogdon of the Indiana Pacers,
You've long loved him.
Oh, such a fan. He was on First Take. And he said that more white people need to be involved in protests.
As far as change tomorrow, as far as pushing the conversation forward, you know, black people are impatient at this point. That's why we see so much of what's going on. Black people are at the end of the rope. We have, you know, no other means to sort of demonstrate how we feel. So short term, I think we have to continue to protest, continue to demonstrate, continue to push the conversation forward, and continue to bring in those people that are of these high quality positions into the conversations, because those are the ones that can enact change now.
He also said that we have to remain angry. Can't forget the feeling that everyone's having right now.
People have to understand the desperateness that our community is in, how hopeless we feel. And then to see another black man murdered in the streets for no reason, you know, over a fraudulent $20 bill, if you really look at the details of it, it's inexcusable. It happens so much. And my fear is that we as a people will become numb to it. It's important for us to stay outraged. It's important for us to continue to be angry, continue to protest, continue to shed light and highlight, you know, what's going on in this country and the broken system that we're living in.
You should be angry, because you should be angry to try to elicit change. But I think the only way you can elicit change is that, at least when it comes to policemen, and I stand firm on the side that there are a lot of great policemen and there are a few bad ones. And I think that's the way it is in broadcasting, librarians. That's just the way of the world. But a bad policeman really can resonate by doing a really awful thing and somebody losing a life. A bad librarian, I mean,
I'm going to disagree with you about the same percentage of bad librarians.
Why?
Because it's just not the same field. I am saying right now, and if people are offended, they can take it, you will find the percentage of bad librarians lower than police officers. Sorry.
You think so?
Sticking with it, yep.
Well, here's my point without even joking about
it.
We have to somehow eliminate the fear of those in uniform that are great from ratting on those that are not. Have to be incentivized to give those people up. And also, every single police department in this country has to have an independent arbiter or psychological evaluation of every single officer. And this officer that committed or allegedly committed this crime, I hate saying allegedly because there's tape of him doing it.
Because he clearly did it.
Right. But he had 17 complaints against him. Why is that person still working with a gun?
Well, we can't allow ourselves to be bullied, all right, into having this opinion means we're against all police officers. Because I think you can do both. You could support the police department and not support this. But there are some that will bully you into, because we have this opinion, that we're anti-cop. And I'm not going to allow that to happen. I don't believe it.
No, it can't happen with me.
But I could tell you that...
Oh, it can happen with anyone once you have the opinion for long enough. Trust
right.
me.
Is, you know, I don't know if you saw Chris Rock's Instagram, where he's like, that's unfortunately the one job that you can't afford to be bad at.
Right.
You know, American Airlines can't say, well, we got a few bad pilots, you know, that crash into the mountain. Well, no, you got to be good. You have to be better. You're held to a different standard, and that's not saying that it isn't a difficult job. It is a tremendous job, and I admire them because they go out every single day, and they kiss their family goodbye not knowing if they're going to come home. Okay, I get it. They do a job that most people would never think of ever being able to do. But that does not excuse the behavior of the few. And it puts pressure on the many that are good to root out the bad.
But and if they
I don't, think you can do both, Peter. I think you can support the police department and also think that what happened to Minneapolis was heinous and disgusting.
Well, I always make this comparison, and I know it makes me kind of a simpleton, but I think it's actually not done enough. Do you guys consider me to be a Redskins fan?
Yes.
Yes, big time.
Would you say by far the most passionate of all the things I'm interested in sports?
And maybe the most passionate Redskin fan I know. How about that? And I know a few.
How often do I say good things about the Redskins these days?
Not often.
Almost never.
Because they're terrible. But I love them. But they are terrible.
Right.
And so I don't understand why it's this one area where if you're critical, you're now anti. Well, and I'm sorry. It's tough. And, you know, Ebro brings this up a lot on the show. There's a lot of tough kind of tough pills you have to swallow being a police officer, because when you get to carry that gun and that badge legally around the street and wield the power that they wield, a lot of tough criticism comes with that.
Hey.
A lot. And we need the good cops to step up. It's not enough. It's not enough to just do your job well. People you now are expected to give up the goods on these guys who are bad eggs. You have to do it.
To use the sports analogy, not to compare because it's not even close to equal, but I think the fans that I appreciate the most are the fans that are critical of their own teams, that there isn't this blind loyalty, that they can be disgusted with the team but still love it. It's like this country.
Of course.
I'm allowed to be critical of the country. I always hated that love it or leave it. That doesn't mean I have to love every single aspect. If there's something I don't like, I should be able to call it out because I love it so much.
I don't want you guys to badmouth the Redskins. I'll get defensive. But when I go back to Washington right. and see my friend Jody, you think we spend time talking about how good they are? We right. trashed them the entire time.
Is that Jody with a Y because it's a man?
It's Jody with a Y.
Okay.
So, obviously a lot to think about, and of course... the curfew in New York City of, is it 11 or 11:30?
11.
11 tonight. First time in 77 years that there's been a curfew in New York City. And as Michael pointed out, the last time there was a curfew was because of the police shooting of a black veteran in Harlem 77 years ago in 1943. So,
did you see what happened in Louisville today?
No.
Not good. So there were police officers and, I think the National Guard, and somebody fired at them. They fired back and they killed an innocent black guy who owned a barbecue joint. Who was like very well known in the town too.
46 minutes ago, Louisville police chief fired after law enforcement kills man.
And one of the things I read was there were like 90 police officers on the site. Not one of them, according to the thing I read, had the body camera on. Not one.
How is that even possible?
I don't know.
Good job out of Atlanta police two nights ago.
Good job out of Killer Mike, too.
Yeah, that was amazing. I was going to bring that up.
And also the Atlanta mayor. She
Mayor Bottoms,
she's been great.
T.I. and Killer Mike were really great on Friday night. But yeah, Atlanta, you know, they had police. Do you see the video of the Atlanta police tasing that couple?
No.
Two nights ago, this couple got tased. This guy got pulled out of his car and tased onto the street. And the cops were fired the next day, instantaneously fired. They didn't think there was enough there to prosecute them, but they were instantaneously fired. Let's move on. NBA coaches have formed a racial injustice and reform committee, which is pretty cool. They announced the committee with a statement describing the recent events of police brutality, racial profiling, and weaponization of racism as shameful, inhumane, and intolerable. At the top, you got Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr, Lloyd Pierce, David Fizdale, and Stan Van Gundy among the coaches selected to this committee.
Also, Popovich today went up and in on the highest level of government, name names, and obviously he's never been a fan of the president, but then really took down Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham.
Pop doesn't hold back.
Nope. When you're 70 years old and you've accomplished what he doesn't have to be politically correct.
Nope. And no one in San Antonio is rushing him out of San Antonio. David Fizdale was on Barton Hahn earlier, and he spoke about this new NBA committee.
The ambition is for real action steps that lead towards real reform in social injustice and in our police departments. You know, we're going to connect. Obviously, we can't do this alone. We're going to try to collaborate with our players and our players association, Adam Silver and the whole NBA, a lot of community leaders, also our law enforcement officials, and really try to come up, you know, with real solutions, bringing equity to our communities, especially our communities of African Americans, because it's to a point now that if we don't do something, and the thing that I'm most proud of is our white coaches. They understand that none of this is going to move if just, you know, me, Lloyd Pierce, J.B. Bickerstaff, Dwayne Casey, and Alvin Gentry, and Nate McMillan, and Mike Brown, guys like that. If it's just us, nothing's going to happen. And so they really understand how important they are to this deal. You know, when you talk about the likes of Pop and Kerr and Stan Van Gundy and Eric Spoelstra's and all of the other coaches, you know, that are involved in this deal wholeheartedly, they understand that they have a huge, huge role to play if we're going to make any dents in this.
By the way, Michael, you mentioned what happened in Louisville last night.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw a picture of David McAtee. I just came to the verge of tears just looking at a picture of this guy.
Really?
Who, by the way, they said his barbecue place gave free meals to cops. He was shot dead yesterday. Oof. J.R. Smith had an interesting situation in L.A. over the weekend, and he went on with Pat McAfee on Pat's show and talked about what happened between him and this protest, what they're describing as protester.
Now, you want to peacefully protest? 100%. We can do that. But once you get to vandalizing people's personal property that has nothing to do with nothing, and 100%, honestly, I'm the only black guy on my block. I'm the only black person on this corner. So for you to randomly just thinking you're doing something for the people, that one black person who was able to get out the situation and move into a nice neighborhood and do all of those things that we aspire to do, you broke that person's window without even knowing. So it's like people are consistently doing stuff, but you don't even know what you're doing it for or why you're doing. You, out of all the people, 100%. Now, granted, if he would have seen me and seen somebody outside the car or outside the house or whatever, do I think he would have broke it? Absolutely not. It was just a random act of stupidness, and I give him that. But that ass whooping was a random act of stupidness on my behalf.
JR did whoop him pretty good. Now, MLB players voiced outrage on social media over the weekend, which, Michael, I would say it stands out a little bit relative to the past.
Mm-hmm.
Really hearing from baseball players. Mookie Betts, Giancarlo Stanton, Andrew McCutchen, and Pete Alonso, among others, who expressed outrage over the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Pete Alonso said, "For the past couple of days, I've struggled to wrap my mind around what's happening. I have a voice and I will not remain silent. My heart has been broken over the murder of George Floyd. I will never know what it feels like to be discriminated against because of the color of my skin. To anyone who faces this type of discrimination, I will fight for you and be an ally. I will always stand with you. There needs to be justice and change made for the betterment of humanity. Let words be our sword and unity be our armor. Take care of each other." That's Pete Alonso.
This kid continues to impress, Don. I'm sorry. He says all the right things and uses his celebrity in a good way. The Mets should be very pleased with this guy.
I thought that was well said and well done.
A-Rod, also with a post. "Don't do it," he tweeted. "Don't turn your back on racism. Don't sit back and be silent. Don't think you can be part of the change. Don't think you can't be part of the change. My heart is breaking right now. So many people are hurting. We all need to speak up and spread love. Don't sit and watch. Do something." He also tagged Nike in the post, along with a video from Nike, which they debuted over the weekend. "Don't do it." They said for the first time, "Don't do it." And a cool moment came when I saw Adidas reposted Nike's thing. All the brands were sort of working in tandem over the weekend. Speaking of A-Rod, A-Rod and J-Lo supposedly still working on buying the Mets. They're now supposedly working closely with very senior bankers at J.P. Morgan Chase on a new bid to buy the Mets after their initial approach failed to come together earlier this month. One of the big changes that make a deal potentially more fruitful is the recent inclusion of SNY, the TV home of the Mets, in
part
the
of SNY.
Part of SNY?
They want to keep some of it, the Wilpons.
The first time around, it was excluded altogether. So, however, now through the pandemic, with baseball hemorrhaging money, it sounds like they might be willing to budge a bit. So,
it's interesting because I've heard the Met owners from different sources don't want any part of selling to A-Rod. But I don't know if the people are lining up to buy it.
Also, they say a Long Island pharmaceutical billionaire, Wayne Rothbaum, who was originally a partner, is no longer involved.
And what's interesting about this is that they want to make the whole Willets Point area an entertainment venue, like where people can go there early, hang there. I guess that would be where the chop shops are, and turn that into something that would be a destination for people. And that supposedly J-Lo does not want to be just a name in this partnership. She wants to be a hands-on person where she could develop that area and turn it into an entertainment venue.
Well, that would be terrific, Michael, obviously, because that is an incredibly big-time eyesore. And, boy, if you were able to get like that become a destination, because you've seen areas that do that where you have the ballpark and other, it's so incredible. Get people there
too.
Early. It's
everywhere.
DC like that
idea.
Too?
Yeah, Nationals Park is like that too. It's an area that I've never been to in my entire life. It was an area that no one really did. There was nothing there. And, you know, yeah, you'd feel bad, of course, for a couple of the businesses. Maybe they could give some of those businesses an opportunity to get in some way. But relative to other places that they've sort of gone in other markets and kind of wiped stuff out, you know, you got a few of these chop shops. Besides that, it's no man's land over there. Imagine if it was fun. You take the whole trip out there to Citi Field for the day, and all you can really do is when you get to the stadium is go to the stadium.
Right.
It would be a game changer. Plus, you'd have it for, you know, for the U.S. Open, for everything else that happens out there, concerts.
Good point, yep.
It would be a real game changer for that whole area. The union has come up with a new offer in Major League Baseball, 114-game season with an opt-out clause. They delivered this proposal on Sunday, calling for a schedule that would end October 31st with the right for players to opt out of the season because of virus concerns and the potential deferral of salaries if the 2020 postseason ends up getting canceled. Players would also receive $100 million total in advance pay during the new spring training.
I will get into this next segment, but this is the first step toward a solution. This is the first step toward an agreement. I'm telling you, this will now get done because, okay, we're going to pay you prorated the way you want. We have 50 games because in that March 26th addendum or agreement that was signed, it did say that the commissioner had the right to have any length of a season he wants. So if he offers them 50 games, let's say they say, let's bump it up to 60. It's right there. The deal is there because they're willing to do prorated. Now you just have to come down to the amount of games that they're going to play. So I think they could do it. I think the bones are there for an agreement.
Sad news, guys. This is going to be hard for me. Jason Whitlock is out at Fox Sports.
Another job for you to apply for.
They couldn't come to an agreement on a new contract, and Jason Whitlock is out. Now, it's believed that he's going to be looking into his own direct-to-consumer business, which I'd be very excited about. You know, he's like the next Bill Simmons or Joe Rogan, except, you know, not. He was on Speak for Yourself, of course, but he was not on today. So Friday appears to have been his last day. Good riddance.
Wow, strong, Don.
That's all he knows.
Deshaun Jackson had an interesting thought about how to make the NFL viewing experience more interesting if there's no crowd. Let's hear from Deshaun.
I think they should, though, bro. They should give the fans, like, an insight to really see what goes on in between the white lines, bro. It gets crazy, bro. It definitely does. I know in the trenches it get crazy, and I know out there on the outside it gets crazy, too, the conversations we going back and forth on. So
he's suggesting players be mic'd up, and you really get to hear more from the players during the game.
He's right. Be
to
great.
Make up for the lack of sound.
And also, I think we've crossed that Rubicon with cursing because they certainly didn't bleep out Michael Jordan during The Last Dance, so... I mean, just say at the beginning of the game, the families with kids, there's going to be blue language here.
But that was
would
on
really
ESPN.
Take us down on the field. It was on late, but so was Monday Night Football.
Yeah, but
right, you could always do it on Monday Night Football.
Right, yeah. But I don't know if you could do it on Fox or CBS at 1 o'clock.
No, you can't do it on over the air, but you could do it on cable.
Patrick Mahomes also put out a statement on Twitter about the senseless killing of George Floyd. It really went into detail and sent prayers to the family of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery. Hashtag justice for George Floyd. And this is interesting, guys. Did you Lenny Dykstra's case against Ron Darling was thrown out.
How come?
Dismissed. Because essentially it was viewed that by the judge, you cannot libel someone with a reputation as bad as Lenny Dykstra. That's nature and seriousness of Dykstra's criminal offenses, which include fraud, embezzlement, grand theft, and lewd conduct, and assault with a deadly weapon, and notably, the degree of publicity they received, have already established his general bad reputation for fairness and decency far worse than the alleged racially charged bench jockeying in the reference. Hmm. So essentially, because he's been accused and shown to have done so many crazy things over the years, what Darling said he did in that game back in the day about Oil Can Boyd, it just doesn't do enough damage relative to how bad his reputation is to make a libel case viable.
I don't know how I feel about that.
So we should pick somebody that we know is just a terrible person and just completely besmirch them on the air, and then we wouldn't be any trouble.
That's essentially what they're saying.
Darling was basically accusing him of being a racist, right?
And he never said he was a racist. He just said that,
but that's what's implied when you're saying that he was using
word. That Lenny has never said, I'm a racist. He said the other stuff. His book was damning, I guess.
But we think Lenny's
it is a weird principle, though. It is a weird...
But I'm saying is that Lenny looks like a guy he's gotten in a lot of trouble, okay? And his reputation is... awful, but this is an allegation that makes it even worse, right? I mean, if you're saying he used that word, you're kind of implying or putting it on the table that he is a racist.
Correct.
So if I have a past where I've made some mistakes, if I just a deplorable human being but not a racist, it's okay to then throw racist on top of it and it's not supposed to be a big deal?
I hear what you're saying. It's a weird precedent.
Yeah,
it's strange. It's the sort of ruling that you take a look at and go, really?
Yeah. I mean, if this was about someone else, people might be more upset about this.
It also implies that you can't get up from your reputation.
That too. Well, he hasn't done much to get up from it recently, though.
No, but the way that it read was that all that stuff was already out there. How are you supposed to change it? Does it say that you could, if you were to change it, then it would be okay to then go after the lawsuit? I don't know how you change somebody's, the overall perception of you. The stuff has already been written.
Don, how do you feel about the fact that the band Foreigner follows me and often randomly likes and retweets things of that?
No, I don't like it at all.
I think you should enjoy it because that's a
Don
that's
enjoys
a good band.
Ruth Buzzy following him,
and I think Foreigner may follow me too. Because I believe, Graham?
Probably. Don't ruin it for me.
Graham. I think he's from New York. Matter of fact, the song Double Vision was written about J.D., John Davis.
Or I thought it was written about the three guys in the back of your car.
No. John Davidson was playing in goal for the Rangers, took a shot. And I guess it was Jim Gordon, who was ever doing the play-by-play on television, said he's experiencing double vision. I'm like, wait, that would sound like a great song. And so he's a New York guy, Peter. And
so
if you're a New York person, this is a New York show.
It makes sense. Hey.
Hey.
Shout out to Foreigner. And that'll do it for ENN on this Monday evening.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.